humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
At the Home Depot, it's our business to support yours. Partner with your go-to source for building your business. We can help you streamline your operations by supplying the whole job from start to finish. Any questions? Our pro desk is ready to answer the call with supply sourcing, custom orders, large equipment rentals, and more. Elevate your efficiency and take on more projects with the partner you can trust. The Home Depot, how pros get more done.
You took the first step and quit smoking, but even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. At the White House briefing today, Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt says their assessment of the drones flown in New Jersey these past months is that the majority were authorized and not the enemy.
The drones that were flying over New Jersey in large numbers were authorized to be flown by the FAA for research and various other reasons.
That assessment echoes the Biden administration's assessment back in December that the drones did not pose a danger and there was nothing nefarious. Federal aid, public loans, and grants already approved by Congress have been frozen by the Trump administration. White House officials say it's a temporary pause and does not impact money going directly to individuals for programs like Medicare and Social Security. In Kansas, state health officials say they're dealing with the largest documented outbreak of tuberculosis, or TB, in the nation's history. The state reports two deaths in the past year, along with 67 active cases. This is ABC News. Today marks 39 years since millions of people watched in horror as the Space Shuttle Challenger broke up shortly after liftoff.
Challenger seems to shake herself free of the ice and goes.
ABC's Vic Ratner was at Cape Canaveral describing the freezing launch of Challenger, but 73 seconds into the shuttle flight,
something is not amiss.
Something is wrong.
Cold temperatures had prevented a rocket booster from properly sealing, leading to the loss of the shuttle and its seven crew members, including New Hampshire school teacher Krista McAuliffe. President Ronald Reagan remembered how they
slipped the surly bonds of Earth to touch the face of God.
Brian Clark, ABC News.
The doomsday clock is inching closer to midnight. The Bulletin of Atomic Scientists reset it today at 89 seconds to midnight, the closest humanity has come to self-annihilation. They cite the danger from nuclear weapons, climate change, and potential threats from artificial intelligence. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
My son loves to fly kites, but my active psoriatic arthritis can sometimes hold me back. Now with Skyrizi to treat my skin and joints, I'm ready to go. Skyrizi, risankizumab riza, a prescription-only 150 milligram injection for adults, helps with less joint pain, stiffness, swelling, and fatigue. For those who also have plaque psoriasis, 90% clearer skin is possible with just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
With Skyrizi, there's nothing like clearer skin and better movement, and that means everything. Ask your doctor about Skyrizi today and visit SkyRizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Aylin. U.S. Senator Ron Johnson approves of raids by Customs and Immigration. Speaking to WISN-TV's Up Front Sunday, the Wisconsin Republican said they're looking for dangerous criminals.
Law enforcement actions, if they find other people in this country illegally, they'll also be caught up in the law enforcement actions.
Johnson also says he generally approves of the presidential pardons issued to those convicted in the January 6th attack on the Capitol, but that he wouldn't have pardoned those convicted of violent actions. U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin says she's ready to work with Republicans. The Wisconsin Democrat says she meets with newly elected members.
What I do is I look and see what sort of common ground we already have. You know, most people who've just won an election had an agenda that they talked about during their campaigns. I can look at the state they represent and see if their state has some similarities with Wisconsin.
Baldwin hopes to address immigration and border security and child care and housing costs. She says she'll resist efforts to alter Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. Proposed legislation would return state employees to the office.
Representative Amanda Nedweski has introduced legislation alongside State Senator Corey Tomchek to return state employees to in-person work. The Pleasant Prairie Republican says nearly 5 years after the COVID pandemic, a significant number of state employees continue to work remotely, while productivity diminishes and office buildings sit mostly empty. The proposal requires that all state employees return to work in their physical offices by July 1st. Those whose job duties were already being performed off-site prior to March 2020 are exempt. Bob Hague, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
No more mold. No more damage. No more slipping and hurting. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. BCI Bath and Shower is made in America for the highest quality. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a never-clear glass treated door. BCI Bath and Shower. Interest-free financing options. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Windy and warm today. With partly sunny skies, winds are whipping out of the south, gusting up to 40 miles per hour, pushing our high temperatures into the mid-40s. As winds switch overnight to out of the northwest, it'll pull in slightly cooler temperatures for tomorrow. Need a new bathroom? Don't miss out on free premium upgrades from BCI Bath and Shower. 1-800-329-4115. Currently, it's 39.
Turnaround Tuesday was the theme of the markets today. Corn and wheat futures were higher with modest gains in the soy complex. Even the NASDAQ turned higher and got back more than half of yesterday's sharp losses. Lean hog futures gapped higher, and the buyers just kept rolling into the cattle complex.
Live from Two's Around Turn Day via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, it's a conversation with Kent Beadle from Paradigm Futures. Directly following the news, Brian Split from AgMarket.net. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now the host of AgriTalk, Chuck Borey.
All right, Davis. Hey, thank you so much. A turns day? Is that what you called it?
A twos around, round, get around.
I like it.
Twos around. You betcha.
I like it.
Twos around turn day.
You bet. Now, okay, we did see higher trade in the grain markets, but we backed off the session highs. Mm-hmm. So we lost some momentum as the day was going on in the grains. I don't know how big of a deal that is. We're going to check with Brian Split about that. And then, of course, we're going to have a conversation with Kent Beadle today. Looking forward to that. Kent back on here and looking forward to the conversation with Kent and mm-hmm. digging into some of the influences in these markets that we need to consider as we're thinking about our risk management strategies going forward. So, looking forward to that.
It's been my
everything
experience,
good your way.
Yeah, everything's great. 49 degrees here, headed for a high of 52. I'm still in a sweater though.
Yeah.
I'm starting to sweat.
49 degrees here.
What? We have reached parity? Wow. Yes.
49 degrees up here in northeast Iowa.
I don't know what to do with this.
I'm telling you. We got a little bit of wind blowing. But for the most part, it is a very, very enjoyable January 28th, 2025.
I think I'm sensing just a little bit of moisture in the air, too. We had that full-on winter Arctic, that dry, you know, the dry air you get in the wintertime.
Yeah.
Feels just a little bit different down here today.
Yeah.
It really does.
Yeah, we don't have that.
No? At all?
No. Nope. It's dry. Uh-huh. It is dry on dry. Well, up here in Northeast Iowa right now.
I may be all hopped up on hopium, too. It's hard to
know. It could be. Could be. All right, buddy, let's get to the markets.
Sure thing, Chip. Well, short covering got the credit for pulling wheat prices higher today. There is demand from importing countries in the global market, but much of the demand is being filled by other wheat exporters. Today's strength in the U.S. dollar was generally ignored by wheat traders. Crop watchers are concerned by the condition of the U.S. hard red winter wheat crop, but forecasters do see the potential for rain in the Central Plains later this week. March soft red winter wheat futures took back all of yesterday's losses, and today's high range close points to a test of resistance at 560. March HRW wheat futures 7.75 cents higher at 561. March SRW up 9.75 to 545.25. Look out, March spring wheat futures closed at 597.75, up 12 cents today, Chip.
And the dollar was no cheap rally today. It was up more than 500 points. We got the index back up to 107.86. So it's not like that was a strong enough move that I would have thought that the wheat market was going to pay attention to it, but it just did not today.
Yeah. Well, Chip, today's low range open and high range close in March corn futures helped to establish support at 480 in the spot month contract. Professional traders have already loaded up on the long side of the corn market, and those managers were quick to defend long positions after two consecutive lower closes. Lower crop expectations in Argentina and delayed planting of Brazil's Safrina corn crop helped support corn prices here. On the demand side, USDA this morning reported the sale of 132,000 metric tons of U.S. corn for delivery to South Korea. March corn futures 3.25 cents higher at 485.25. May corn up 3.75 cents to 496. July corn futures closed at 498.25, up 4.5 today, Chip.
Those traditional buyers of U.S. corn are just kind of methodically building their book, building their coverage on corn. And I got a feeling that part of the reason they're doing that is because they don't want to get caught up in any kind of a tariff effort by the Trump administration. So.
Well, Chip, pro-farmer crop consultant Dr. Michael Cordonier from Soybean and Corn Advisor cut 2 million metric tons from his Argentine bean crop estimate. That puts his outlook at 49 million tons. Dr. C held his Brazilian bean crop estimate unchanged at 170 million metric tons. March bean futures posted an inside trading day with a low-range open and a mid-range close. Front-month beans are establishing support at 1040 with resistance around the 1060 level. March beans today were steady at 10.45. May beans up a penny to 10.59.5. July beans closed at 10.72.25, up 2 cents today.
Yeah, 170 million metric tons is like 6.2 billion bushels.
Mm-hmm.
We grew like 4.5 billion bushels this last year. Yeah. So, I mean, it's a huge crop that we're talking about in Brazil.
Yeah. Well, March cotton futures declined 29 points to 66.98. On your livestock's heavyweight choice graded box beef surged $2.46 to a new high of $3.3254 this morning. That supported the cattle complex. Confirmation of another surge in last week's cash cattle trade also chased sellers out of the market. Feb fat cattle opened on session lows and closed above resistance at yesterday's high. February fat cattle today up $2.87.5 Chip to $208.55. March feeder futures up $3 to $278.25. February lean hog futures gapped higher and left that gap open. February lean hogs 85 cents higher today, 83.90, Chip.
A lot of positive stuff there in the livestock trade, no doubt about it. Yep. All right, thank you, Brian Davis.
That's all right.
I'm looking at my notes. Thank you, Davis. Let's bring in Brian Split, AgMarket.net. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, I'm good, Chip. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I sure can. You sound great. Talk to me about new crop beans.
So on the new crop soybeans, it looks like we might be forming a head and shoulder bottom, and that would be characterized by a left shoulder effectively made with the lows that were scored in October, and a lot of those were in that 10-15, 10-17 zone. And then we had a right shoulder that was made on this pullback on January 17th with a 10-18.25 low. So the neckline is essentially the 1060 area. We made a high back in early November of 1060 and a half. That was from the bullish WASD report in November where they lowered yield. And then we've got last week's highs at 1061 and three quarters. So if we get through that, that all measures to the 1150-ish area. That also happens to be a 50% retracement of contract high to contract low.
Then all right. Hey, Brian, I think we kind of lost you a little bit. Step a little closer to the microphone.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, there we go.
Okay. We also have another possible head and shoulder bottom in the SRW, the May Chicago wheat. Same setup, and basically it's the same thing. Last week's high is the neckline of the move. So if we see a push through the 579.80 area, just call it 580, that all measures up to 620. We also previously talked about an upside objective at the 200-day moving average, which is at the 616 level. So both of those matching up with that upside objective.
All right. Excellent perspective there. Excellent chart work, Brian. Appreciate it, buddy. We'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks.
Sounds good. Thank you, Chip.
Yep, fantastic. Brian Split, agmarket.net. Okay, coming up next, we are going to dig into all these markets. We've got Kent Beadle, AP with Paradigm Futures, up next.
Grounded from Helena is a powerful adjuvant that can take your herbicide application to the next level. It reduces AI loss from UV light and off-target movement while improving deposition and absorption. All to help you unleash precision in every spray application. Spray smarter with Grounded from Helena. Always follow label instructions and check registration before use. Contact your Helena representative to learn more.
Day one. The hardest day. The day you hear.
This is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day two, day 28, or any day, please visit lls.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
This is Andrew McRae, host of The American Countryside. I'm also a farmer and rancher from Northwest Missouri, and I hope you'll join me each week for Farming the Countryside as we take a look at the top issues impacting agriculture as told by the people farming and working in our industry. We'll talk about markets and trade, share some of the latest tips and trends from grain and livestock producers, and take a look at trends impacting rural America. Join me for Farming the Countryside on many local radio stations or on your favorite podcast platform, or just go to farmingthecountryside.com.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Daily Money Management from Numbers R Us. It's all the same things an accountant does for a business, but for you. Whether it's an older loved one, a member of the military, or just someone who's too busy or constantly on the road, Daily Money Management from Rhonda at Numbers R Us makes your financial life headache-free and avoids fees, family conflict, and fraud. Rhonda handles bills, deposits, and payments, monitoring accounts, and providing complete transparency. Set up a free visit with Rhonda at numbersrus.com.
Life is better with American Family Insurance because our agents provide specialized local expertise to help you get the right coverage at the right price. We understand that dairy farming is at the heart of what you do, and we want to help protect what you've worked so hard for. Let's build the policy your dairy farm deserves.
Contact Paul Slusher, your American Family Insurance agent serving Durand and Chippewa Falls.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, SI, and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
AgriTalk is brought to you by FBN Finance, simplifying land loans to help family farms build a stronger financial future. Visit FBN.com/AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad you're with us. Davis, don't you like how Big Apple Joe tries to get you? I mean, he'll go right to the last millisecond trying to get us to laugh before we come back on the air.
Oh, he'll lead you astray if you let him. He absolutely will.
There's no doubt about
that. That's sports for him.
Yeah. It's a daily challenge.
It is. Yeah. It makes us better, stronger.
Okay. All right.
I try to be good.
Yeah. There he goes again.
There he is. Yeah. Let's get this conversation with Kent Beadle, Paradigm Futures, going. How you doing, Kent? My gosh, it's good to talk to you again.
Yeah, it's been a while. Thank you so much for having me on the program. It's great that we get a chance to talk on a day where there's so many things we can talk about.
Oh, it's unbelievable, the kind of price action that we're seeing in here. But, you know, I want to revisit a little bit of what has gotten us to this point. It's been a nice rally in the corn from the August last year's lows. What's been the driving influence here?
Well, it's demand growth, Chip. It's absolutely demand growth. If you go back on the WASD back to March of last year, so 10 months ago now, we've seen demand for corn from that balance sheet to the final on the old crop, the 23-24, that grew by 411 million bushels.
Wow.
Which, of course, brought our carryout down fairly substantially. And now, as we're starting to move through this new crop, we're actually piling on top of that a USDA estimate that says that grows an additional 115 million bushels. Mm-hmm. So, it's demand, but why so much demand? Well, you know, truthfully, the way I put it is American corn has been put on sale. And what I mean by that is, really, since January 1st of 2024, we've seen prices slip below cost of production for the U.S. American farmer. And I honestly don't subscribe to the idea that the marketplace ever owes anyone the opportunity to make money. But I think world end users are starting to get wise to the fact that we've had a sustained period where prices are extraordinarily cheap, and it is unsustainable to maintain prices at those types of levels, because otherwise that has consequences.
Yeah.
And consequences show up either in future acreage, or they might also show up in, say, grower investment in things like fertilizers and herbicide, pesticide, fungicide. And those things have impacts on yield. And I think it's been, widely assumed that all of the yield loss that we saw on the January WASD was due to a dry last half August and September. I have to wonder in the back of my head that when presented with an inability to make any money this past summer, if some decisions were made out there on the farm that may have had some impact on those yields as well.
Interesting. You know, one of the things that I've been tossing around is the idea that if you were looking for a production problem to fix these markets, maybe the production problem's in the rearview mirror. Maybe that yield cut that we got was enough to keep this market going. But I love what you're saying about the demand and how demand has pulled this market to the upside, Kent. Where do we stand now on that demand? Is it still a positive?
Oh, absolutely. We're continuing to see our weekly inspections pace, for example, outpace the same week year ago type levels. You know, we're now over 30% ahead of last year's inspections pace. Mm-hmm. Our total commitments in corn are currently, I believe somewhere in the neighborhood of over 300 million bushels ahead of a year ago. These are very, very solid numbers that we have. And of course, on the ethanol side, we've been running really strong as well, right around 1.1 million barrels per day of ethanol grind, plus or minus, well ahead of the pace needed to hit USDA estimates. And of course, you know, we keep talking about the high priced livestock and, you know, these very, very high priced cattle are essentially incenting that we take the smaller numbers that we have and feed them out heavier. Yeah. And of course, that's a trend that's been ongoing for quite some time. I think most cattlemen will tell you that getting that extra pound of gain, you know, when you're not trying to get a 1,250 pound steer, but a 1,400 yep. or 15 or a 1,600 pound steer, that yep. takes a lot of corn.
Yeah.
That's, you know, despite lower animals, we continue to run very close to 100% cattle on feed, yep. you know, for that exact reason. We need to have those cattle in the feedlot to fatten them up to be able to offset the lower numbers.
Yep. Yep. You know, and the thing is, this is just kind of a side note. She got me thinking about it. If we didn't have the weather that we've got out there right now, if it wasn't good conditions for feeding these animals to 1,700, 1,800 pounds, we wouldn't be doing it. But the conditions are just phenomenal.
Yeah, no. I mean, you know, I listened to your recent program, you know, with all of the, I don't know, red flags, you might say, on this cattle market. And they're expensive. There's no doubt about it. And that, you know, and we with the great conditions that we have, we may continue to see production run really well. However, you know, the flip side of this is that consumer demand for that beef has also been really good.
Oh yeah.
And very, very surprising at these higher prices. And so until the consumer breaks, and you know, let's face it, there have been a lot of private forecasters who assumed that the consumer was going to balk, you know, many, many dollars ago. And it's not happening yet. And until it does, you know, we got a long ways to go here, I think, in cattle.
Okay. All right. You got me thinking about the 75 million bushels that USDA took off the total demand in the January 10 WASD. Took 50 million off the feed and residual, took 25 million off the exports. Can we get those bushels back?
We'll get them back in the exports for sure.
Okay.
And maybe some additional bushels over and beyond that.
Okay.
The way that the feed residual is going to play out, going to have a little bit to do with, you know, how this year's crop, the quality of this year's crop, and what sort of conversions we continue to get out of it. Obviously, yeah. There's been some evidence on the ethanol side that we've been able to get a little bit more ethanol out of a bushel of corn. And, you know, oftentimes that's an indicator that maybe we're getting a little bit better feed conversion.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't have quite as large a crop as we thought we were going to have, but by all accounts, this was a very high quality corn crop.
Right.
And so that may keep us from gaining back some of that feed residual that we thought we were going to have.
Okay. So what are you thinking on corn carryover for the 24-25 year then?
So right now, my guess is that we're gonna move somewhere from 1,540 down toward 1,400 plus or minus.
Okay.
With some additional kind and additional exports.
Okay. So what is 485 March corn futures, 496 May corn futures, just call it $5 July corn futures. What do you want to do with that?
We just started scaling in to small sales. You know, I'll be quite honest with you. You know, we're trying to market towards some level of profitability, and you know, we ended up, you know, marketing an awful lot of last year's corn at prices that, you know, were not very profitable. We actually made recommendations to our client base for call spreads to maintain some ownership for last year's corn. And so, you know, as a scale up basis, I'm still behind where I'd like to be most years in terms of marketing.
Okay.
But, you know, but we have started to scale in on this rally. Now, I will tell you that, you know, the concerns that we have right now in South America, particularly around getting safrina corn planted, you know, I look at the world situation and stocks to use ex China.
Yep.
Are the lowest they've been since 95-96. So
okay.
There's going to be opportunities, Chip.
Gotcha. Okay. Excellent summary there. We're going to start with Dease 25 around that 460 level when we come back. What do you want to do with that? And then we're going to turn our attention to the soybean market. Kent Beadle, Paradigm Futures.
I taught for 20 years until I started forgetting my lectures.
Eventually, he had to quit. Getting his early Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard, but it gave us time to take control of the situation together.
I can't imagine going through this without him.
If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. For more information, visit alz.org/timetotalk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Paul Niefer, a CPA and author of the Farm CPA blog and column for Top Producer. Join me every week on the Top Producer podcast for conversations about the top trends in farm management, tax issues, succession planning, policy implications, and more. Each week, I visit with business-minded farmers and ag experts for lively and in-depth conversations. Subscribe to the Top Producer podcast, available on your preferred podcast platform, and listen to a new episode every Tuesday.
Let's go to the markets page at ProFarmer.com and check today's closes, where March HRW wheat futures were 7.75 cents higher at 561, March SRW up 9.75 cents to 545 1/4. March corn futures were 3.25 cents higher at 485 1/4. July corn futures closed at 498 1/4, up 4.5 cents. March soybeans unchanged at 1045. May beans up a penny to 10.59 1/2. February fat cattle up $2.87 1/2 to 208.55. The April contract up $3.45 to 207.27 1/2. And March feeders up $3 to 78.25. February lean hog futures 85 cents higher at 83.90. Get more market news every market day. Simply visit tryprofarmer.com.
Farming is dangerous.
Whether you have a large animal or a small one, the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley can keep them healthy. With top-notch veterinary care plus boarding and grooming services, the Animal Wellness Center keeps your pet happy. And they specialize in chiropractic care to keep your large animals moving. Make an appointment by calling 715-926-3836. The patients come first at the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley, located in the Mondovi Industrial Park, your complete traditional and holistic veterinary care clinic.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit wicorn.org and become a member today.
Tax season is here. Don't pay more than you have to. Let the experienced tax professionals at Sundstrom & Company in downtown Durand help you explore ways you can save money on your taxes. Sundstrom & Company works with farms, corporations, family-owned businesses, and individuals to make your tax headaches disappear. Call or visit Sundstrom today for an appointment at their Main Street Durand location next to the Courier Wedge. Sundstrom & Company, local accountants providing quality tax and financial management since 1980.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Windy and warm today, with partly sunny skies. Winds are whipping out of the south, gusting up to 40 miles per hour, pushing our high temperatures into the mid-40s. As winds switch overnight to out of the northwest, it'll pull in slightly cooler temperatures for tomorrow. Need a new bathroom? Don't miss out on free premium upgrades from BCI Bath & Shower. 1-800-329-4115. Currently, it's 39.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. We don't make the news, we render it. AgriTalk.
Hey, Music Man.
Yeah. Not does today, Ice and Snow. Not
does
today.
Does anybody make music like that anymore?
Not well, no. There have been several attempts over the years. Sure, absolutely.
Okay, I hear you. I hear you. Oh, welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. That is Davis. And hello. We are in the middle of a conversation with Kent Beadle, Paradigm Futures up in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Kent, okay, we went through the old crop or the 24 crop corn scenario. Yep. Talk to me about 25 crop. When you see a 460 D's 25, or I'm not even sure where, 461 on the close today, what are your thoughts around that?
Well, it's low because soybean prices are as low as they are. And, you know, you have to tie some things back to acreage and, you know, the overall, you know, heavy world soybean situation. Right now, soybeans are, you know, a buck and a half below cost of production. And corn is currently, in our estimation, about 25 to 30 cents below cost of production. So we have to assume we're going to add some corn acres. Right now, I've got 82 and a half million in my Ooh. Balance sheet.
Okay.
You know, I know people are looking at more than that. Did I say 82 and a half? I apologize. Yeah. I meant, yeah. So 92 and a half. And, you know, but it's still inexpensive. So from a marketing standpoint, you know, we've stepped in, we had made a defensive sale at 460. We hope that it's our worst sale. And, you know, again, as I was saying before the break, should we have a weather issue in South America for Safrina, or should we have a weather issue here in the U.S.? We think there's an easy 50 cents to a dollar that the market would react okay. to those types of weather issues, you know, curtailing supply in either of those production areas okay. because world-ending stocks to use, ex-China, is extraordinarily tight.
Okay. Excellent. So what I'm hearing is be a little patient on the new crop corn.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. we can't get to market and we have to scale yep. up, but I'm not very far ahead at this point in time, less far ahead than I would like to be, but that's just a function of markets that have been poor now for well over a yep. year.
Okay. All right. Let's move over to soybeans. The rally took longer to get started in beans. Why?
There are so many bearish items on the balance sheet that are, or just on the ledger, so to speak, that so many people have been pointing to. One of the things I find interesting is that you go back all the way to August. USDA had 134 million tons of carry out on the balance sheet. We're down to 129, but that still is, you know, being, you know, promoted as a lot of soybeans, and it certainly is. Then of course we've been planting a Brazilian crop, and we gave it rain all year long, and so we've been assuming a large crop in Brazil, and it might be 10 million tons less than what we were forecasting here, you know, a couple of months ago or a month ago. But it's not small.
Right.
And then, of course, President Trump gets elected, and I think the marketplace started to price that in well before Election Day. But there was still so much uncertainty around things like tariffs and 45Z policy going forward. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've just got a lot of unknowns. And the markets, you know, markets don't like unknowns. They have a tendency to sell unknowns and wait for real facts to emerge.
Right. Right. Gotcha. Speaking of that, waiting for the facts to come out, when you're looking at the South American crop estimates, are you looking mm-hmm. at CONAB or are you looking at USDA?
Well, I pay attention to both. And of course, paying too much attention to CONAB over the last couple of years has not been a great way to make a living, because the USDA has been fairly consistent over the last 3 years in forecasting larger crops. And, you know, two of the last 3 years, CONAB has actually come around to the USDA way of thinking. But this has been a very interesting year. CONAB still has last year's crop at 146 and change instead of the 153 that the USDA is carrying on the balance sheet. Right. And I go back to this past summer, Chip, and do you remember how poor our export sales book was for this upcoming year in July? It was it was historically terrible. And in my opinion, what the Chinese believed at that time was that the Brazilians were going to be able to satisfy them for a much longer period, and that they wouldn't need to rely on U.S. beans in September and even maybe part of October because of that larger crop. Well, guess what? Starting in about August, the offers from Brazil just flat dried up.
Yep.
And, you know, we've been exporting great guns ever since. And I still have to wonder if the truth from last year's soybean crop might be closer to CONAB than the USDA.
Okay.
They're closer together on this upcoming year's crop, and obviously yields are going to have a lot to say about what those numbers ultimately be.
Okay. All right. So as far as risk management on the 24 crop beans, what are you thinking? When you have the conversation with a customer, what do you guys talk about?
Well, we still think that, you know, you can't forget to sell it. Our current, you know, position with most of our clients is that they're reasonably heavy sold out of the cash, but we have some fairly sizable re-ownership positions and things like call option spreads that have a certain limited amount of risk that we can tolerate, given the fact that there is, you know, still a fairly heavy world balance sheet that we're staring at. But, you know, when I listed all those bearish things that happened in this summer, I do find it interesting that all of those things were extraordinarily well known and well discussed, and yet the only thing that didn't happen was what everyone thought was going to happen, and that was an 8-handle and maybe even a 7-handle in soybeans.
Yeah.
Okay. And so now I go back to, you know, what is the cost of production and what kind of prices are, you know, does it take to break even? And, you know, for last year for beans, it was $625 to grow on average to grow a bushel of beans. And with yields, that's a north of $12 future to break even. We've got the same kind of math coming at us for this upcoming year. So, you know, once again, we are, you know, soybeans on sale are on sale. U.S. beans are on sale. And, you know, you start to pencil out the balance sheet for next year. And while I, you know, have to increase corn acres a little bit, I'm going to decrease soybean acres by about 3 million. Okay. And, you know, that is the way that we're going to get this supply hangover taken care of here pretty doggone quick.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, if we take them down 3 million, you're going to take your carryover down from 350, because we won't be able to produce enough to keep up with total use at that point, will we?
I don't think so. No. You know, I start having ending stocks start to skew back down toward 300. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's, of course, the other interesting thing about, you know, our ending stocks in 2020, 21, 22. Those were years where we thought our ending stocks were actually going to be quite a bit lower, but prices were higher. And we ended up rationing our soybean carryout to an area that was between 260 and 285,
right,
which now points to the idea that that is essentially pipeline minimum, because that's where we rationed beans to here the last two or three years that things were tight. Yep. So we don't have to go all that much further. You know, we made a big leap when we lost that production on the last WASDE report and went from 470 to 380 million bushels.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Okay. But we've only got a minute, but I'm going to switch gears.
Yep.
Cattle. What is there to say that hasn't already been said in cattle?
if you're in the business and you've got the feeders bought and you've got the corn bought, you better get yourself some protection. Yeah. We can keep going up, but you've got to manage the risk right now. That's in a nutshell, that's really all you can say. And so long puts, short calls, give yourself some room, but manage the risk. And when it comes to, somebody who's still got to go out and buy feeder cattle, the truth is that the math doesn't work very well right now. So you might want to think about something else until this situation maybe calms down a little bit.
Yep. We got that inventory report coming up. We're going to be looking for some beef replacement heifer news there, aren't we?
Oh, yeah. And, that's obviously a key because we're going to have to build this herd at some point in time, Chip.
That's right. Kent, man, it was good to talk to you again, man.
Thank you so much for having me back. I really appreciate it.
You bet. I look forward to doing it again.
Are you tired of high cable TV rates? Sign up for Dish today and get a $500 bonus offer while supplies last. Plus, lock in your price for 2 years guaranteed. Call All-American Dish, your Dish authorized retailer now.
800-296-1251. 800-296-1251. That's 800-296-1251.
Offers require credit qualification, 24-month commitment, early termination fee, and e-auto pay. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
Right now at Wendy's, get two of these fave items for just $7. The spicier classic chicken sandwich, Dave's single, or 10-piece nugs. It's an incredible deal, but an insanely difficult choice. Do you go double chicky sando, both spicy and classic, one beefy and one chicky? Or maybe you go all in on one and go nug max. Two faves for just $7? Gotta be Wendy's.
At participating Wendy's for a limited time only. Select a request two for $7 deal to redeem. Not valid in a combo or with saucy nugs. Single item at regular price. Prices may be higher in Alaska and Hawaii.
If you have unfiled taxes or are in debt to the IRS, this is important news. Did you know the IRS has programs specifically designed to help people struggling with tax debt? Powerful tax assistance programs that can save you thousands if you qualify. No one knows these programs better than the experts at Optima Tax Relief, America's most trusted tax resolution firm, A-rated by the Better Business Bureau. Their award-winning team of tax attorneys and licensed professionals have resolved over $1 billion of tax debt for their clients. One call to Optima can start the process, helping to end your worries about wage garnishment, asset seizure, and other IRS actions. Make sure you're getting the best options to solve your tax problems. Call the experts at Optima today for a free confidential consultation.
Call 800-707-4522. 800-707-4522. 800-707-4522.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
More than money. You're borrowing expertise from loan advisors who are often farmers themselves. You're borrowing loan technology that makes smart decisions faster and easier. Don't just borrow money. Borrow more at FBN.com/AgriTalk. Offered by FBN Finance and its lending partners. NMLS ID 1631119. Terms and restrictions apply.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and Ag Day's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
You took the first step and quit smoking, but even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
The next disaster is coming. The time to get ready is now. Make a plan. Identify meetup locations and people you'll need to contact. Put your contact list in your wallet, on your phone, and somewhere visible in your home. Build a kit. Store enough food and water for 3 days. Don't forget your pets. And consider buying a pre-made kit. Keep at least 7 days of medication on hand. Work with your pharmacist and insurance company to secure the extra doses. Make copies of important documents. Keep them on your phone, in the cloud, or on a USB stick. Stay informed. Learn about local hazards. Take courses in CPR and first aid, and sign up for local alert systems. An early warning can give you the time you need to prepare for a fast-moving disaster. Be ready. Learn more at americares.org/send us in.
The best talkers in ag, including you. Join the conversation on AgriTalk. Call us at 855-4-TALK-AG.
Welcome back to AgriTalk, everyone. Your pal Davis Michelson here. Chip Lorre along as well. You know, the email machine, apparently the sucker started going off during the last couple of segments there. You can also send love mail to me or hate mail. davis.hate/love/love.hate/love.
Mm-hmm. Dot.
Let's go ahead and send that on over.
Dot org.
N-U-T-T-Y. Dot nutty, actually.
Dot nutty.
It's a new extension. Nonsense
exactly.
only.
Exactly. Love it.
Something was said that I haven't heard said. I don't even know when. Maybe
don't
you can remind me.
Don't forget to sell.
No, that's not it.
No, that's not it
at all. No. Okay. No. It was soybean pipeline.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't heard anybody talking. It used to be, we're almost what's pipeline? What's pipeline?
Yep. It made me pull the S&D table up on hot beans. It really did.
I wondered.
22-23 carryover was 264 million bushels.
Okay.
And we had a national average on-farm cash price of $14.20 in the 22-23 marketing year. And we rationed use down. Mm. You know what? I don't want to get too aggressive on that. Okay? I mean, yeah, we held crush back from growing super fast, but we exported 1.98 billion bushels of beans that year. We're expected to do 1.825 billion bushels this year.
Okay.
So our export number was good, but we had to do something to slow it down and keep it at that 1.98 so that we could keep 265 million bushels of beans around at the end of the year. It made me jump on the WASD machine and take a look at what it was. Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, talk to me about what you came up with on the Google Maker there. The emails apparently came in hot and heavy. You want to talk about any of that at all?
Yeah, we've got a listener that's asked some questions on cattle here over the past couple of days.
Oh, okay.
You know, after the conversation that we had with Chris, and then some of the comments that we got from Kent here just a couple of minutes ago. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yesterday's email said two things. With average age of cattle producer, how many will cash in and those guys won't get back in? All right. the older cattle producers, yeah, they're going to cash in, and they're not going to get, they're not coming back in. But that doesn't mean that there isn't going to be somebody else coming in to replace them.
Mm-hmm.
I know, and I know the argument. I know the argument that the younger generation just doesn't want to do this and won't do that. I know some cattlemen out there that are busting butts that are young.
Mm-hmm.
They are young, and the reason they're doing it is because there's incentive in the market. There's financial incentive to do it. As long as that is the case, there will always be somebody to step up and take a farmer's place.
Yep. Yep.
That's just kind of the bottom line. That's how I see it. That's how I see it, and it's been proven out. I mean, we look at the average age of the of farmers out there, and it's yes, it's inching higher, but it's been 58 and a half forever.
Yeah.
Forever. And there's a reason for that. And it the reason is as we peel off a generation, a new generation comes in. So there's that. Then he came with this question. How would a major drought in 25 accelerate liquidation and or affect this cycle? Oh, holy smokes, man. and he followed it up today with this comment, and I think he's exactly right. Nightmare scenario. Major summer drought. People liquidate more cows. Corn shoots higher. Bad winter weather. And people sell lighter weight fats for a lower beef supply yet. Now he says, how high could cattle go? You know what? They might go lower. Because at that point, you might finally do something to slow down demand. Okay, it's a two-part equation. So as the supply side story is still price friendly, the demand side story is where there is uncertainty. Okay, where could beef price itself out of consumers' grocery cart? But I got this text from another listener, and this is something that we've talked about a couple of times, just a little bit here and there. Okay. But he says, look at the number of people switching to a meat-based diet. The demand is only going to get better.
Mm-hmm.
I have a difficult time arguing against that. I think it's that is part of the reason that we are that we're going through demand expansion on beef.
I don't know how much
of an impact it's having, but I know it's having an impact. Is that fair enough to say?
Absolutely. Anecdotally, I'm hearing more, I'm seeing more about this carnivore diet. Meat, carnivore diet, that's what it is. I don't know how popular that is. I can also tell you, we had Patrick Montgomery, Casey Cattle Company, on last Thursday.
Yeah.
Dude didn't even grow up on a farm. Got out of the service, went to college for a little while, and decided, you know what, I'm going to get some cattle going here. Dude owns Casey Cattle Co. now. Started with two cows.
There you go.
They are out there. They are out
there. They are. Yeah, so the next generation is there. And, you know, the next generation isn't willing to do the work. That's just wrong.
Yeah,
it's just wrong. They are willing to do the work. As long as there's incentive. As long as there's incentive, they are willing to do the work. National Weather Service 6 to 10-day outlook, February 3rd through the 7th. Below normal temperatures, northern Kansas, Iowa, northern Illinois to the north, near normal to above normal south of that, above normal precipitation expected over the entire Corn Belt. Hey, thank you so much for listening this morning. Come back tomorrow morning. We are going to spend some time learning and getting to know what is happening at Farm Rescue. Farm Rescue, right here on AgriTalk.
At National Geographic Society, we believe in the power of wonder. It drives us to explore, pushes us to see the world differently, moves us to action. And we believe that today, wonder is more essential than ever.
Wow.
That's why we're supporting a new generation of explorers to ask big questions, make breakthroughs, and bring the future closer. Wonder awaits. Will you join us? Visit natgeo.org/wonder.
Scammers often try to dupe veterans to steal the VA benefits they've earned. Scammers may try to obtain sensitive information or collect payments over the phone, offer to move assets in order to qualify for pension, insist benefits may be sent directly to a friend or caregiver, or promise to manage benefits or file a claim for you. VA will never charge you for processing a claim, and only VA can determine eligibility. To report suspicious activity, visit va.gov/OIG/hotline.
Do you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt or personal loans? With credit card debt at all-time highs, Debt Relief Advocates is urgently notifying consumers of debt relief now being made available, designed to aid consumers with out-of-control credit card debt. Those who qualify and enroll for this relief program will only have to pay back a fraction of what they owe. This is not bankruptcy or a debt consolidation loan. This is a relief program that credit card companies would rather you not know about, as it ends your debt nightmare and saves you lots of money. Consumers owing at least $10,000 in credit card debt or personal loans can now take advantage of this debt relief as the cost of living skyrockets. Debt Relief Advocates has established a relief hotline for you to call to learn what debt reduction you may qualify for, so don't wait. For this free information, call the Relief Hotline at 800-707-6152. 800-707-6152. 800-707-6152.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM, Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Federal funding for key programs, grants, and foreign aid.